In terms of who benefits from CPD, I'd say everybody. Mm. I think of primary importance, it's got to benefit those who use your service. Otherwise, I don't think you can class it as CPD.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I suppose for us as the regulator, we're sort of quite explicit on this. So we talk about two sort of groups having to benefit, both the professionals themselves and service users. So we're sort of quite clear. Standards 3 and 4 set that out. So when you're choosing activities, we ask you to seek to ensure that you're undertaking activities which benefit the service user and benefit yourself as a professional, whether that's related to your current practice or future practice, because of course it's got that developmental quality, hasn't it? So, and service users are, you know, incredibly broad as well. So service users, whoever they might be for you in your working situation, those two groups, I think, for us.
And picking up on your point there about the range of activities, what I like about the HCP website, when you click on that list of the different types of activities that constitute CPD, and the fact that it can be things that you learn in the workplace, there's work-based learning, it is formal courses, it can be, but then I like the idea that it can be a whole range of activities, so maybe something you're doing outside of work. So I took on the role of being a school governor because I identified I needed more strategic experience to support my career. And that's something I do outside of work, but it benefits my own continuing professional development.
I mean, fantastic example. The only thing, you know, we would say is that we just expect that there's some link to your own sort of professional knowledge and skills, or, you know, and that absolutely is, because you can talk about, as you say, you know, working strategically. So must link things that are outside of your working life, which we'd classify as sort of other, you know, in terms of the five different types of activity, you know, must have some sort of relationship. But if you're able to demonstrate, you know, how they're supporting you as a professional, then... Yeah, fantastic. And I think it's worth making that point again. Not all about going on courses, not all about, you know, those things which can be more time consuming and more expensive. You know, it's all the different types of learning. And in fact, our standards explicitly say that you must undertake a mixture. So if you did, you know, only one type of learning, in fact, you would struggle to meet our standards. So it is about that mixture.
And often it's the informal learning, isn't it? And it's the social learning and... I know I've had a discussion with a number of other professional bodies outside of health and social care around the use of social media. So, for example, Twitter debates and their value in terms of providing a forum where you can come together and share and learn. And then as long as you reflect on what you've learned and change your practice and show how it's beneficial, I think the medium in which you learn is you know, it can be broad, can't it?
Absolutely.